Hey guys, what's happening? Welcome to the show. Welcome to another episode of Action Movie Anatomy, and we are lucky enough to have our movie screens graced with the one, the only Tom Cruise. If you don't see Jack Reacher, never go back. You're gonna die. So we're gonna talk about it right now on Action Movie Anatomy, and I can't friggin' wait, guys. Hang out with us. We're gonna break it down for you. You'll see in just 1 second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! What's up, everybody? Welcome
Strange
to the show.
Days are back again.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's not a Bourne film.
Oh, my bad.
It's not Strange Days. It's Extreme Ways.
Oh, extreme.
Are you combining, like, the doors now?
What's like, man, I'm just going to do everything wrong today.
Feels so good. That explosion, the room just got really warm.
It
did you
did.
Feel that?
It did. The AC is not working today. Thank God I wore a suit.
Andrew wore a jacket for a reason.
It was very good.
Yes. Welcome back, guys. Welcome to Action Movie Anatomy, the show on the Popcorn Talk Network where we talk about action movies. The Popcorn Talk Network, for those wondering, is the online movie network dedicated to talking movies and all things movie-related. This is Action Movie Anatomy, the show where we break down the best action movies in the world. And this is episode, like, I don't know, 77 or something like that.
We're getting real close to our 100.
Yeah.
We're well on our way.
Yeah, we're definitely getting there. And I'm your host, Ben Bateman, joined today by Mr. Andrew Guy.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I am just getting back from San Francisco. It's my first time ever in the Bay, and what a lovely city that was.
Yeah, San Fran's awesome.
I was supposed to fly back on Monday and get back in at like 2 p.m.
Yeah.
PST. My flights were canceled 3 times and delayed 8 times. I got back at 1 a.m. Tuesday morning, and I was like, oh my God, I have to go see Jack Reacher. I had totally forgotten that I hadn't seen it yet.
Oh, no.
I was just, like, ready to do the show.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, I haven't seen the movie.
Like, the trailer was good enough, didn't it?
Yeah. Saw it yesterday. Blown away. Can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, it was pretty friggin' sweet. I mean, it was a good trailer. The thing is, it's like, with this show, with Tom Cruise, like, he does basically a movie a year. I mean, that's pretty much his MO now.
Yeah.
Has been for a while. And there was a period of time where he was jumping around doing a little more than that. He seems to be sort of back on the wagon of just, like, film a bunch of movies and release them once a year. So
yep.
It's just, you know, it's like Christmas for us when a Tom Cruise movie comes out.
I know. I was thinking, it's like, every time a new Tom Cruise movie comes out, we have to do it on the show. We'll pretty much always be able to do his movies on the show, it feels like.
Yeah. Even if Tom Cruise did, like, a heavy drama, I think we would just break the rules and do it anyway.
We could argue that there's, like, enough action.
Cruise just opening his mouth is action.
It's action.
Him
it's
just talking.
Action.
Yeah.
What I loved is that, why make Jack Reacher 2? Why do it?
Yeah.
But if you make Jack Reacher 2, it's just like the second London Has Fallen and John Wick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean. The
yeah.
Fallen franchise. Your expectations are never that high. You're going and getting looking for exactly what you're going to get, you know? So I loved it.
The sound editing on the ass kicking was great. His hits were very impactful.
It was very good.
Yeah. So guys, if you want to follow along with the show, with the conversation, at AMA Podcast is where we are on Twitter. We've been gaining a couple followers here and there. It's been a lot of fun to interact with you guys. And then, of course, if you want to follow either one of us personally, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
And you can find me at Andrew Guy on Instagram and Twitter.
And anybody that ever, you know, tweets at us, we always try to get back and engage in the conversation. So, yes, last but not least, we have Marissa Serafini, the wonderful, the talented in-booth engineer and host extraordinaire.
Hello,
how are you
guys
today, my dear?
Welcome, everybody who's also listening. I'm excited for your discussion of Jack Reacher because I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm seeing it very soon. So
you're going to see it tonight, you said?
Yeah, tonight. So I'm waiting to hear what you guys have to say.
So in the last month, we've got the opportunity to spoil 2 movies for you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah?
You guys should feel so blessed.
That's pretty good. Have you seen the new Walking Dead yet?
No.
All right, let's talk about that then. Might as well just ruin it. Everything
you watched, right?
Oh, I watched it.
Insane.
It, awesome.
Yeah. But it's the craziest episode of television I've ever watched. I mean, no question.
I think so. There's maybe the episode where Walt runs over those 2 guys.
Yeah, but that's
but like so different.
That's like super like, yeah, great moment. This was like actually like
I immediately started crying.
Oh, really?
When the words were said.
Yeah, right, when he tries to say it.
I started crying.
Yeah. I was sitting there watching it and like was kind of having that moment where my jaw was dropped and my eyes were wide and I was just like, am I going to like have to step out of here and vomit?
Right?
I was like, this is like nauseating.
Because of how gnarly it is, right?
So hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the big discussion is people saying that it's like, this is too heavy-handed, but the comics, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was panel for panel. Without spoiling anything, guys,
yes,
specifically.
Yep.
But it's worth watching. It's definitely worth a watch. Even if you don't watch the show, it's just insane. So, Yeah, this is Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, and this is Action Movie Down. The movies we talk about on the show have four basic rules. Mm-hmm. Aside from being made after 1981, the movie hero always plays by their own rules. And of course, if it's Tom Cruise.
He will
never play by anybody else's rules, ever.
Tom Cruise, the actor, only takes characters or roles that play by their own rules.
Yeah, he produces the film, he stars in it.
Yep.
And he, yeah, even on set, he plays by his own rules.
He's very charismatic.
Yeah, he's so charismatic. I'm so excited to meet Tom Cruise someday. Two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people in the room. Villains in Cruise movies, unless they're Philip Seymour Hoffman and MI3, are like always kind of understated and never that good.
Like, yeah, they're always like, they're just placeholders.
Kind of.
You gotta have the main bad guy, and then it's usually his henchmen.
Yeah.
His main henchman that's actually the guy. Same with the first one.
Yep.
Again, so it's... I think the henchman, though, was definitely the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, for sure. The ex-military guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. He was... And, I mean, he was, like, the... He was the villain.
Yeah, he was definitely the villain. I love the classic, you and I were the same.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, we both can't go back to normal life. I was waiting for that conversation the whole movie.
Yeah, totally. And then three, the movie is driven by a police, military, or political figure, and he's military police. Well, he's ex-military police, but...
ex-major.
Yeah, but, you know, he's constantly referenced and people are constantly saluting because he's such a fucking hero.
He is.
He's a fucking hero.
A fucking hero, Tom Cruise.
And the movie contains a minimum of one explosion. There's definitely an explosion in this movie, right?
There's gotta be, right?
I'm, like, just spacing, but I think there's almost positively an explosion.
There's always explosions in these movies.
Yeah, though, I can't think of one, actually.
There's an explosion of family.
Yeah, explosion of caring. that weird cylindrical thing on the side of Cruz's face when he smiles now, that kind of exploded out of his face.
Oh, yeah, like, bursts.
You know what I'm talking
whatever
about?
That is, yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. And
it's like a circle on his jaw.
Yeah, and his old man, like, six-pack. It's always been weird. We've always talked about how his six-pack's been odd.
Cruz has always had a weird body.
Always.
Always since day one.
No one debates that.
When he was, like, 24, he had, like, a strangely shaped body.
Like, a close to 40-year-old man old body.
It's just
herniated.
It's just weirdly shaped.
That's all it is. But he rocks it.
You know what I actually thought was interesting on the subject while we're just getting into Tom Cruise and the shirt-off conversations?
Why not?
All right, so Jack Reacher, he's, like... He's not, like, a super agent. He's not Ethan Hunt. He's not supposed to be a superhero. He's supposed to just be, like, a badass dude who can kick your ass.
Right.
He's, like, a drifter. He, like, lives on buses and stuff.
I still don't get that whole thing.
That he's a drifter?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's just a drifter. So, like, whereas, like, Ethan Hunt is, like, a superhero.
Yeah, he's a super agent superhero.
I flipped on Rogue Nation the other day, and this was shot, like, 2 years ago. So one of two things happened. Either Cruz made the conscious decision for Jack Reacher 2 to just be, like, I don't have to be totally shredded and tan.
Oh, right, right.
And, like, I don't have to be that character for this movie because that's not what Jack Reacher is. Or he aged, like, 10 years in 2 years. Because I swear to God, if you go watch Rogue Nation, there's that scene when they have him tied up and he vaults up the pole and he looks like he has the body of a 25-year-old.
Shredded.
It's ridiculous.
He has a clear six-pack.
He pops out. Shredded.
I think you're right. I think that's what it is. I think that Jack Reacher is more so that guy, the everyman that's a retired ex-major, that's a drifter, that just kind of does his thing. Whereas Ethan Hunt still needs to be viewed as a superhero to do the things that he does.
Totally. Yeah, it was crazy to me. I was just like, because this movie was, that's definitely one of the plot lines I would take away from this movie if we're talking about, like, what do you want to talk about Tom Cruise? He looked visibly older in points in this movie in a way that I wasn't used to seeing. Like, he's really taking good care of himself. But it's so strange to watch Rogue Nation because it is just recent. It's like 2 years ago. Like, what the hell happened? I don't feel like he aged that much in 2 years, so I think
No, but I understand what you're saying. It's not about age. It's about, I don't know, I guess, like, maybe keeping the total package together. Because even in Rogue Nation, when we were watching it, we were saying, you can't see that he's getting a little grizzled. He is getting a little older. But in this movie, he looks like the every guy that's gotten older, whereas in the other one, he looks like a super agent that's gotten older, if that makes sense.
And I would, if I was going to bet money, it would be actually that it's intentional. Like, I don't think he, like, went into this movie being like, I want to look a little thicker, but, like, I would bet money that in Jack Reacher, he was just like, I don't have to live and do this thing that I did for that one because, like, it's not a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know that Mr. Cruise can do anything he sets his mind to.
He could just be 25 again if he wanted to.
He could fly.
Do you like the length that I wrote here?
I did. At some angles, Cruise's face still looks 30. it's remarkable.
It is remarkable.
It really is.
Did you notice the shot that I noticed? It was at the end of the movie when he's looking back at his daughter and he turns for a second. And I was like, holy shit.
Well, even
he's 30 again.
In the first time you see him, he looks younger than he does in many parts of the trailer.
Yeah.
Because in the very first time you see him in the movie, he turns and you see he's a little grizzled. He's a little older. But there's parts of the movie where he looks like significantly older, where you're like, that dude's in his 50s.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, like you said, it's like, is he?
Yeah.
Is he 36 again or what?
He's a goddamn shapeshifter.
He's something remarkable about
him. Something special. So, guys, we're going to get into the trailer here before we get into the first parts of the show. We're going to cue it up here. This is the official Never Go Back trailer. It's a good trailer.
It is a good trailer.
What the hell happened here? There's a fight. One guy took them all down with his bare hands. He's still in there.
Sweet.
Turn around, mister. You see your hands. Slowly.
My favorite line is great.
Aggravated assault is a felony in this state, Mr. Reacher. Process him and get him to county.
Reacher, first name Jack.
Two things are gonna happen in the next 90 seconds.
Excuse me?
First, that phone over there is gonna ring.
This was too second, intense. Yeah. When he did this, when the movie was just like, calm down, Tom.
On your way to prison.
Well, that is one magnificent prophecy, Mr. Reacher.
Uh-oh.
Just gonna keep on ringing.
Thanks for tipping us off to that sheriff.
When are you coming to D.C.?
I move around a lot.
You're a legend. Folks wonder why you left. Purple Heart, Silver Star. There's this big dent in the desk. People say you made it with someone's head.
Purple Heart. Creature.
I love that. They ran out of medals to give him line.
I'm sure it was a good one.
He's been set up. How much does Reacher know?
How's it going?
I don't like being followed.
They show like a solid like
vulnerable.
That's right.
Minute and a half in the first 6 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Death with it.
And like a lot of good scenes.
Yeah.
Like, those other sweet action scenes.
He's here to kill you.
Yeah, that part was pretty sweet.
My men were shot by one of our own.
Right, but showing all these scenes is like deflating the balloon. Like, you can show so many sweeter action scenes.
Well, man, here. That was a mistake.
You're a dead man.
You think you're above the law. But I'm not the law. So you should start running, because I'm going to start hunting. And when I find you, I'm gonna kill you all.
It's like a strange... the character of Jack Reacher and, like, what Cruise has decided to do with, like, this, like...
All you guys go to the same barber?
Like, his, like, grizzled, like, take-no-shit-from-anybody-take-no-prisoners character?
Right.
It's like the PG version of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Tom Cruise... It's the Will Smith version of, like, what being a rapper was back in the day.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Tom Cruise's action hero.
Yeah.
He would never have a line where he's like, I'm fucking thirsty.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't happen.
It's funny, though, but it's like, this is him trying to push the limits a little bit, like, be pretty hard. Right. But it's, like, so PG.
It has to be so... It's still, like, you could watch this with a 10-year-old and not feel bad, this movie.
Yeah, it's all, like, honor and nobility. Some of the lines from the first movie, actually, were, like, a little, like... I thought they pushed the envelope a little more.
Oh, yeah, like, isn't that the one where he says, I'm going to rip your arm off and beat you to death with it? Or isn't that in this one?
I intend to what did he say? To drink your blood from a boot?
Yeah, drink your blood from a boot.
He has a couple sweet lines like that. There's also... Yeah, I mean, definitely. So, but I think it's a hilarious franchise to, like... in his 50s be trying to like push the envelope in that way.
Yeah, and again, like we talked about this in our first Jack Reacher episode, when it's like he's supposed to be 6'5 and like 250 the character of that Tom Cruise plays.
Yeah.
Which is why, I mean, that's why you got to get Tom to do it, cuz he's got the character of a 6'5 man.
He's got the strength of a large man. I mean, that's the thing. It's like if you're Cruise's height and weight and you're asked to play like ex-military police who's 6'5, like you got to just, like, play it like you have the attitude of a dude who's 6'5".
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite scenes is, like, early on when, like, someone goes to stand up.
Yeah.
And he shows her stand up, and then you can see that she's, like, visibly, like, 6 inches taller, and they cut really quick and change the angle, and he's taller than her.
Yeah.
You know he's on a little soapbox.
Cruise.
I love it.
The best. It's the fucking best. I wonder if Cruise, I hope that he has a sense of humor about his height. Like, I hope that he's just, like...
Right, he's not, like, offended. He doesn't have, like, a Napoleon complex.
It would be hard to imagine, being as famous as he is, to not have, like... not be one of those things where, like, just, like, don't fucking mention my height.
Right.
You know?
It's the one thing Mr. Cruise does not like to talk about.
At the same time, though, I wonder if he's just at this point just, like, whatever.
I feel like for him and, like, guys like Statham and Jet Li, where they've just, like, very small men, actually, in stature, and they've proven to be badasses on screen, I feel like you would just own it and think it was hilarious.
If you use the numbers 5 and 6 consecutively, you're going to die.
You're going to die. Stephen Lemieux up in the booth. I was like, what is going on? Marissa took a little break. What's up, Stephen? How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good.
That was good. That was clever.
That was good. Have you seen Reacher yet?
I have not.
Are you going to see Jack Reacher around?
I think I will.
You should.
I enjoyed engineering when you guys did the first movie, so.
Yeah, it's very good. And we're about to get into our thesis statements, they're phenomenal.
All right, so free thesis statement, guys, is that moment of the show where we premiere something, a big thought, a big idea, something that we really feel holds together and kind of just like drives. It's the thing that you watch this movie and you think to yourself the whole time. So it's kind of your elevator pitch at a party. You've got a drink in your hand. Somebody's like, such and such Jack Reacher. And you're like, this is what I think. I'm an expert. I do a movie show, so you're going to think this is impressive.
And these are my points to back it up.
Yeah, exactly. Not actually that they would think it's impressive because you're drinking at a party.
And you're talking about Jack Reacher.
Yeah. I've constructed a strong thesis on Jack Reacher, never go back.
Somebody talk to me.
How did he get in here?
It's fun. I actually want you to go second because I like your thesis so much. I was almost going to do the exact same thesis as you.
Okay.
And I think you put it, you've had better verbiage. Mine is that this sequel is so much better than the first. This, of the franchise, this is the greatest film, and there should be no more. That is it, right there.
I find that so crazy that you think this movie is so much better than the first movie.
I really do.
It's wild.
I really do, and I think the reason why is what I was saying in the beginning, is that I knew exactly what I was getting into. I knew what I was signing up for. Whereas in the first film, you were hoping for so much more, I think, or as a Tom Cruise action movie fan, I was like, yeah, Jack Reacher, this could be cool, I guess. And you went into it and it was kind of like a letdown. Whereas with John Wick, it's like Keanu Reeves, I like him, but I don't like him on the same level as Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah, so my thesis is that Tom Cruise is the only living actor that a studio would actually bank making two simultaneous action franchises starring him at the same
time.
Yes, that would actually happen, that a studio would think that it's a good idea for us to release back-to-back movies with Tom Cruise starring as an action hero that are sequels, and expect people to actually see them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that, but that is, I think, he's the only movie star that I can think of that would draw that kind of attention, because worldwide, Cruise's star is still so massive.
Yeah. Now, so Keanu Reeves is the other argument, because it's like, oh, well, he was Neo, and now he's John Wick, but that's almost 20 years apart.
And on top of that, like, by the time he made John Wick, that was a shot in the dark. Like, that was, like, the fact that ended up being as big of a hit as it was a total surprise.
See, now that goes back to my thesis again, so going into John Wick, I was already just like, no, this is not gonna, and then it was amazing.
Yeah,
like,
so good.
Amazing. My buddy I was talking to the other day, I was telling him about our show. And he was like, oh my God, dude, have you seen John Wick?
Yeah.
They're making another, and he just went off about the training and the videos.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that,
yeah.
So, in that sense, it's like, I don't think John Wick 2 is going to be better than the first one. But I think Jack Reacher 2 was better than the first one for those reasons that I just said.
Yeah, I think the thing that's so strange about them making a sequel to Jack Reacher, and like, it's that because of his star power, because like, we've talked about this a lot, Redbox Generation, just the whole sort of concept of straight-to-video movies starring A-list, formerly A-list stars.
Right.
And how that's so common now, and what it takes to really be somebody who still only releases in theaters, to be somebody who, if you're in a movie, it still is a big deal. And even though Cruise's star has faded from the place that it was a decade ago, it's like, it's definitely been on the rise the last couple of years, but more importantly than that, he still is only releasing a movie a year.
It's like that player. You always have this discussion in fantasy football with a player's floor and their ceiling.
Yeah, right.
Tom Cruise's floor is a multi-million dollar film that is only going to be released in every theater in America.
Yeah.
Like that.
And
that's his floor.
For him to look and be like, okay, so the movie I'm going to release in 2016 is Jack Reacher 2. It's like making Jack Reacher in the first place. Any other star you can think of who was hit, like a Willis or like a Nick Cage.
But actually, let's change that conversation to even someone relevant now that's huge, that isn't like quite like Chris Hemsworth, for instance.
Yeah.
Let's say he did a Jack Reacher film. they wouldn't make another one if it was received the same way the first one of this was.
Well, yeah. So that's it. Let's get into that conversation really quickly before we move on to Fist Pump Moment, because there's actually a reason this movie was made. I read an article in Variety about this. And so the first Jack Reacher film worldwide, can we pull up the box office graphic I pulled really quickly? It was the 2012 worldwide. And Reacher, I believe, came in 40th. The first Reacher did. If you can blow that up for me just a little bit.
40th.
I think worldwide it was 40th, which worldwide is actually, yeah, let's see here. Jack Reacher, looks like number 37, right?
Worldwide, that's not bad.
And what does that say? A little bigger on the number. Is it 216? I'm totally blind.
It says 218.3.
Okay, $218 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. So the first Jack Reacher movie cost like 50, I think, right, to make. And it was received with pretty mixed reviews. It wasn't a hit. People didn't love it. Mm-hmm. I saw it in theaters. I was kind of underwhelmed by it.
Yep.
It ended up playing really well in home box office and in like home video, and then particularly overseas, it did really well. $218 for a movie that cost 50 is pretty good.
That's very good.
That's pretty good. And so I think the
Especially if you're producing it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
So I think the studios were like, you know what? We think that this... Apparently, like, the focus groups were testing, being like, we like that he's ex-military police, that he's this kind of, like, drifter character. Mm-hmm. It was a likable character for people. And I think they were just like, you know what? It's very difficult to concept a franchise that makes money. I mean, by comparison, Edge of Tomorrow made... What was it? Somewhere in the 300 millions and cost almost 200 to make.
Right.
The return on this is much higher.
Yeah, much higher. And it's so funny. You're right. Like, I was in the theater yesterday. I went to a 215 showing in Santa Monica, California, at an ArcLight cinema. So it's a nicer theater. And there was about 12 of us in the audience. There was two ladies in front of me that were got to be close to 80 years old.
Yeah.
There to see Tom Cruise.
That's so awesome.
There was another guy my exact same age.
Yeah.
Could have been doing it for his video podcast show, yeah, in the same row as me.
Yep.
And then behind me was a family.
Yeah.
Of like middle-aged parents, you know, like late 30s, early 40s, and their kids in their early teens and like, yeah, adolescents. And it was just like, this is why Tom Cruise is still making movies and money.
Yeah.
Look at who's in this theater at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in, yeah, Santa Monica when the beach is literally a half a mile away.
Yeah.
You're in here watching this. Like, that is why Tom Cruise's star is always going to be on the way up. That's why he can do one movie a year and we'll still go see it.
It's also like a combination of a few things, right? With his star, when you talk about what makes Tom Cruise Tom Cruise as far as the global brand goes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his worst controversy that he ever got into was that he was part of the Church of Scientology, right, and that he jumped on Oprah's couch. That was the actual worst.
Right.
He didn't hit his wife. He didn't embezzle money. He didn't get caught with a prostitute.
Yeah.
He was like part of a controversial religion that people don't really understand, and he did it a little too publicly for like 1 year.
Yeah, he was just like too excited about something he was excited about.
Which, like, at no point am I going to offer any kind of judgment or clarity on Scientology because I know very little about it.
Yeah, no.
And that's not the reason we love Tom Cruise. But the point is, that was the guy's scandal. I mean, the biggest movie star in the world, right, that was his scandal. And, like, you look at what's happened with his star recovering. Yeah, he puts in the most energy. He's totally endearing. He's totally and completely committed to every character that he plays.
He's respectful on set.
You don't hear a bad word about the guy. You don't hear that he's an asshole. That's the reason you're talking about. There's 80-year-old women, there's 50-year-old dudes, there's 25-year-old guys, because it's like, you probably grew up watching Tom Cruise. There's probably some movie you connected to. Did you see the James Corden thing, by the way? Did you watch it?
No. Is he in the car?
No.
Oh,
you didn't know. Oh, you gotta watch this. I'll send this to you.
Okay.
He went on Corden, he did Roll Call, which is Corden's show, where he gets the actor to go through like his whole catalog of movies and do like a 10 to 20 second little like video tribute with a green screen,
okay,
for every,
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was 9 minutes, his Cruise's whole career, and they covered like 40 movies. Or not 40, but it was like 25 or 30.
Right.
They only missed a few important ones. But the craziest thing to me when I thought about this was, and when I had my Tom Cruise party, we had the same conversation. Because, right, the question was, what are the four movies, the four most iconic Tom Cruise movies? They're tied to the most iconic scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Those four that we decided on were Top Gun, Jerry Maguire, Risky Business, Mission Impossible.
Those
were the four I think that everybody was like, because I think we named drinks after those four.
Yep.
And it was like, yeah, okay, the scene with him hanging from the ceiling, super iconic.
Absolutely.
Most iconic Tom Cruise scene ever is in Risky Business with him sliding.
Yep.
With the old-time rock and roll.
Yep, and then the You Had Me at Hello and that whole...
And Top Gun, or Show Me the Money. Those, yeah, are like the scenes.
Show Me the Money, yep.
When I thought about it, and I was watching this, and people were loving it, and it went viral, and it was super fun to watch. Cruise is great. He has a sense of humor. He does all the scenes. He does Tropic Thunder.
I can't wait to see this.
But what I thought about was so interesting is, like, Okay, Risky Business came out in 1983. Top Gun came out in 1986. Respectively, those two movies are 30 and 33 years old. Two of his, I would argue, his most iconic scene, the scene that they ended the whole thing on, is old time rock and roll from Risky Business from 33 years ago.
Yeah.
That's his most iconic scene. Tom Cruise has been famous in four decades, and it all started with that. That's still remembered as the one that launched
him. That's the thing. Yeah, that's, I mean, I hadn't really seen Risky Business many times, and then this year you were like, we got to watch it. We got to sit down and watch it. You'll love it. And I loved it. And it wasn't just because I love Tom Cruise now. It's just a great movie, and it's just fun, and it's a phenomenal movie, and it gave me a new respect for it, because I always thought it was just that scene.
Yeah.
It was just because of that scene, and I was like, why is this so...
It's like Superbad before Superbad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's crazy when you think about that the guy has managed to reinvent himself, stay relevant, stay making movies, and like so many of these actors... I mean, think about the scandals that... some of the other stars we talked about had. Think about somebody like Mel Gibson.
Right.
Like, he got, you know, caught drunk driving and said anti-Semitic remarks to a police officer. Like, you compare a little excited about your religion we don't understand to anti-Semitic and drunk driving. It's
right.
Like,
and then also just like all the domestic violence cases you hear about, all the drugs, the prostitutes, like these things are things that happen. This dude has been more famous than I can imagine for longer than I've been alive.
Yep.
And to be able to maintain that level of composure is incredible.
So anybody who's still listening after we've just decided to rant about that for the last 20 minutes. But yeah, just thinking about why they made the movie, why they made the sequel, and looking at the numbers, it is kind of fascinating that like Jack Reacher 1 made that much money. We actually got called out when we did the first Jack Reacher film, I think, for me saying that it wasn't successful. And somebody in the comments was like, it was actually very successful.
Yeah,
and
they were
dead right.
They were like, it made this amount of money, it got these reviews, and it was on these lists, and we aren't always right.
Yeah,
I guess what we thought when we said that was just, it was exactly, yeah, it was exactly what we thought when we heard that they made a second film.
It was right in the tail end also of the whole, like, is he still a movie star thing? Because you remember the starting with 08, the movies that had come out were like, it was like Lions for Lambs, he had done the role in Tropic Thunder, which people thought was cool, he had done Rock of Ages, mm-hmm. he had done Night and Day,
Valkyrie.
He had done Valkyrie, he had done Oblivion, he had done this movie, the only one in there that was really a hit was Mission Impossible 4.
Yeah.
So there was like 5 or 6 years, and this movie was right at the tail end of that, right before Oblivion, where none of those movies did particularly well critically, nobody liked any of them. It was the next year with Edge of Tomorrow, and then Mission Impossible 5, that it started to really ratchet up again.
And then this, apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
It's franchise.
So, anyway, moving on to Fist Pump Moment. This is that moment when you're watching something and you're like, God, this is so fucking sweet. You look around, you're like, are you seeing this right now?
Yeah, like,
are you seeing this right now?
I'm starting to go to movies, like, these movies by myself in the middle of the day, and I'm always, like, looking around. I'm like, anyone else? No? Yeah, no one? All right, well, whatever.
Do you want to go ahead?
I do.
Okay,
Because it's so rare that when you have a cat and mouse chase go on for almost 2 hours and like the talking back and forth and the fighting each other a couple times that the payoff is what you want.
Yeah.
And even when he starts to say, he's like, I'm going to break your arms, I'm going to break your legs, and I'm going to break your neck.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not fear you hear in my voice.
It's exciting. It's excitement.
And then, like, that was almost my favorite line. That was so awesome. But it was actually their fight.
Yeah.
It was their fight at the end, like the falling off the roof and the like brutal fighting, and then the first leg gets broken.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's gonna do it. And the other leg, and then the arms. And then what I love is whenever you hear someone break a neck in a movie, they're dead, right?
Right.
What I love is he breaks his neck and he's still alive.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
Then he hits him in the face or the throat and kills him. And I was just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That was so awesome. It was exactly the payoff that I wanted. It was so brutal. And that dude, I was like so not sold on him the whole... I wasn't sure. Yeah. I wasn't sure which way I was. I was on the fence. And I think with him dying and how I felt about it, it just proved that he actually was kind of a sweet bad guy.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good bad guy. I agree. Yeah, totally, totally sweet. I agree. I think that my fist pump moment is when the guys are trailing Cruz in like Louisiana or wherever they are, and he walks and he's like knows he's being followed, and he like walks into that storage container or whatever it was, like a storage container or like
the warehouse or whatever.
Something. Yeah. And the guys walk in, like the four dudes around him. He's like, "You followed me in here. That was a mistake."
That was a mistake.
You're like, "Yes!" You're like, "He's gonna kick all their asses. This is gonna be sweet." The guy like pulls out a gun or something, and he's like, "Really?
Really?
Really?
He would have killed. Yeah. And then I also love, what's the line in that he says in there? Oh, he's like, so how do you want to do this? And he's like, one at a time with a bat. Yeah. It's like, sweet.
Yeah. He's definitely, like, it's a fun character for him to play, I think. I think he must really enjoy it.
Yeah. I think he's got to really enjoy it. That was another thing about, I know I'm talking about Walking Dead again, but watching actors play characters that they love. Because I watched the episode of Walking Dead, and then I went straight to watch Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Tom Cruise have this great similarity in that, like, they're having so much fun being Negan and Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
And that was like, I was watching one after the other. I was like, oh my God, that just looks so fun. Yeah. I just want to be these guys right now.
Yeah, savage. Awesome. All right, moving on from fist pump moment. Let's get into a little bit of star profiles, a little bit of production development stuff. There's not much out there about this movie. This tends to happen on the new ones. You get to read a little bit about the writers, the directors, the producers, and some trivia, and there's some stuff written, but there's just not that much out. There are press notes.
Yeah, there's press notes, and then also, like, since it is from a Jack Reacher, like, the book series, it's always pulled from, like, certain ones, and it's not really true to the story originally, so... we'll get into Kobe Smulders.
Yep.
I started watching her and How I Met Your Mother long, long time ago. I love that show.
Big
fan of it. But I was never that big of a fan of Robin. I was never that big of a fan of her in general. And
I didn't know that's where she's famous from, huh?
Yeah, that's what made her famous. And I just don't know. I didn't think her career was going to go this way. I thought she was one of those ones where as soon as the show ends, she's going to hang out on TV for the rest of her career.
Yeah.
But she went ahead and did Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Avengers Age of Ultron, The Intervention.
Yeah.
And then she's going to be in the new Civil War movies, I believe, as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, she goes all the way back to the first Avengers, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the big transition, the action franchise transition, and she's just managed to be in all those movies. I mean, that in itself is
Yeah. It's career defining. If we talk about career defining characters
and
roles,
stratospheric at that point.
Yeah, when I saw her in the very first one, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is huge for you.
It's a big deal. Yeah, and it's yet another like totally like non-sexual relationship to a female lead that Cruise has in a movie with a woman who's like, it's like Cruise, I think it has to just be because of his age now that they match him with women who are like mid-30s.
Yeah.
Right? That's got to be the reason.
Yeah, absolutely, because it would have been, I mean, think of like back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, it was like bombshells.
Yeah. But it's just so funny to watch another movie and just be like, there's just like, there's basically flirting and that's the extent of it.
Yeah, it's so weird how, like, at the end of Rogue Nation as well, don't they just kind of part ways?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like at the end of this, it's like, okay, bye now.
Yeah. We've flirted on the phone about the dinner we're going to get and the possible sex we're going to have.
And I came across the country and saved your life and saved the country and now I'm just going to leave again.
Now I'm just going to be a drifter.
I don't know if I like that.
Oh, I don't know. Tom Cruise.
I don't know.
Who was it who just said this? Was it you or was it somebody else who said Tom Cruise transcends sexuality? What was that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or
he's something you and I would have said.
He's evolved or something?
Yeah.
He's evolved beyond sexuality?
When he's like 85, a piece of him is just going to fall off and it's become a new Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen.
The tree of life. So that's Kobe Smulders.
I want to ask you about her real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
So in the very first scene in the prison, that you see her kind of in action.
Yeah.
She seems like a total badass with like a baton.
Yeah,
right?
when Cruise is a soldier.
Yeah. The very next time you see her fight, she's pretty much helpless throughout the rest of the film until the very end.
Talking about when the dude beats her up in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it was one of those things where watching Rogue Nation and watching Rebecca Ferguson and how badass she was, look, you need help. Everyone needs help. Jack Reacher needs help. That's fine. But to go from someone that looks like a badass to like kind of catching Reacher off guard, like seeing her fighting is kind of, you saw that look in his face. Like, you know, you had that in there for a reason. To go right into being like back to helpless, useless fighting chick was kind of annoying to me.
Well, also, but also like Cruise, so much of the movie was like being such like a chauvinist and like, you take care of the girl, I'm going to go fight.
Right.
You know, that was so much of the story. And he almost like didn't really want her to or let her fight.
Why do you think they do that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's probably, you know, like we joke about this being PG, but there's a little bit of complexity to the character of Jack Reacher, and I think some of that complexity is that he is very like old world. He's noble, but he's also like, I work alone.
Right.
I believe I'm stronger.
Very set in his ways.
Yeah, like, you know, he's probably a little sexist. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't think they want to sell that as the character because they want him to be a little more likable, but...
That's why they did it that way, and being like, what, you think that just because I'm the woman, I'm going to stay home? You know, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I don't know either.
Yeah, right.
But I do know how to do that, and I'm a criminal, I'm leaving, so... All right. And then you look at Tom Cruise. We were just talking about this, so we did... Oblivion in 2013, Edge of Tomorrow in 2014, and Rogue Nation in 2015.
Yeah, Oblivion, it's the Oblivion into Edge thing is really interesting because Oblivion is a pretty mediocre movie.
Have you still not watched it? Did you finally watch it?
I have watched it now, okay, but I haven't watched it in like a single sitting with the sound on. I once paid for it and watched a third of it. Then it was on cable the other night and I saw a bunch of it. And then I've seen the whole thing at some other point, but I could like tell you most of what happens.
So it wasn't ever, there's never, and we all know how much you love Tom, there was never anything that you'd seen in any of those different views where you're like, I need to sit down and watch this entire thing from front to end.
No. And then it's just a very forgotten about movie, but because it's the same thing Will Smith does, doing these big action sci-fi movies, that's like a conscious choice that a lot of these big movie stars make. Mm-hmm. So when one flops, like Oblivion was kind of a flop, and then Edge was the follow-up. That was, I think, a lot of the reason people didn't care about Edge of Tomorrow was because of that.
Yeah,
because
Edge of Tomorrow was pretty... it was pretty looked past. And now people love it.
Yeah, it's become one of the all-time favorite Cruise movies for most people that know about it.
Definitely.
Like, it comes up in conversation a lot. But when it was in theaters, it wasn't... I mean, that's why they're making a sequel.
I didn't see it in theaters.
I saw it twice in theaters.
I know. I wish I would have.
Sweet. And then Rogue Nation, of course, was his last movie. So he's definitely on a tear right now. Mena, which has been renamed to American Made, comes out next September. And I believe that's his next movie.
I'm so curious about that movie.
It's either The Mummy and American Made in the same year, or it's going to be American Made next year and The Mummy in 2018.
That's so weird that they're remaking The Mummy. Like, what is with these sequels that...
Well, it's not a remake, so we were wrong about this.
Oh, is it?
No, it's so what happened is the studio is making a whole franchise of monster movies, like the classic monster movies. The Mummy, Frankenstein.
Okay.
Like, they're trying to make, like, a whole sort of, like, franchised thing. So this is, like, the classic Mummy, not, like, the Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Thank God. Okay, that's so much better.
Yeah. It would have been a very weird remake.
It really would have been. And those movies were fine, The Mummy movies.
Yeah.
You know, you got what you want out of them. Okay, so let's move into production development here.
So we have a lot of people actually involved in this movie that we have spoken about on the show before, which is interesting when that happens. You start to be able to look and see how everything connects. But they moved on from Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote and directed the first Jack Reacher film, and then directed Mission Impossible 5.
Five, yes.
And so they gave it to Ed Zwick, who's the director of The Last Samurai. Ed Zwick is like very famous for making like Glory,
some of the best movies ever made.
The Last Samurai, like he's a big Ed Zwick's like a big period piece,
period, yeah,
war drama type of thing. And this is a weird movie for Ed Zwick to make.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I saw that he was taking his hand at that. I mean, I was stoked because you know how I feel about The Last Samurai. But with Tom Cruise, I think that's why you see that when you say that, like, oh, there's a lot of people we've covered on different movies. We've covered a lot of Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah.
And he really likes to surround himself with people that he likes and keep them around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the writing in this movie is good. It's similar to the first movie in a lot of ways. I think the first movie that I liked the script a little more, I thought it was a little more clever. Like, he has some better like one-liners. His stuff when he's talking to the girl and, you know, he's like, I can't afford you. And she's like, I'm not a prostitute. And he's like... Often the most expensive ones are the women who aren't, or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or no, it's the woman you can't afford is the most expensive one, or something like that.
Yeah, it was the same thing as London Has Fallen.
Yeah.
They took all the things that were sweet about the first one and kind of made them into a joke in the second one.
Yeah.
Whereas the first one probably, or definitely had better writing in both cases.
Yeah. I mean, the first, makes sense. McQuarrie, like, who's very famous for the Usual Suspect script, but, you know, I really, really, really enjoy the writing in the first movie. That's the best part of it. Like all those things in the street, you know, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Remember, you wanted this.
That's what you remember. You wanted this. Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
The first movie just has a couple scenes like that. This one's kind of missing. They tried to recreate that in obviously the first scene in this movie. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But so that's Ed Zwick, and it's definitely a funny choice. I do think he did a good job, but I think that some of the action that made the first movie a little more enjoyable was missing from this movie.
Mm-hmm. That is true. This film just felt fully recycled.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable, but there was nothing new or innovative about it. And I feel like when I go watch John Wick 2, that needs to be in there.
Yeah.
You know, it really needs to be in there.
Yep.
So Richard Wank, we covered a couple weeks ago for Magnificent Seven, and this is the guy that didn't really get into writing until he was in his 50s, or his career didn't take off until he was in his 50s. But he's done, most recently, both Equalizer films, Expendables 2, Jack Reacher 2, Magnificent Seven, and he started on 16 Blocks with Bruce Willis and Most Deaf.
Yeah.
That was on TV the other day.
You watched it?
I watched about 5 minutes of it.
Sweet.
I can't stand Most Deaf acting. Like, it was real. And him and, like, Willis together, there's no chemistry at all. It was just really hard to watch. It was just like, you guys are two of the most famous people in the world right now, right? Yeah, let's just throw you in this movie together. I'm very curious to see, like, where this guy's career goes. I feel like Richard Wenk, by the time I'm, like, in my 40s.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's probably my favorite weird action movie director.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, right.
I mean, writer. Blockbuster action movie writer.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Both Equalizer, Expendables 2, Jack Reacher 2, Magnificent 7. He worked on Magnificent 7, but with...
There was the other guy.
With Nick Pizzolatto,
who wrote
True Detective. And then you have Lee Child, who... this is interesting. So this is actually based on Jack Reacher book 18, whereas the first Jack Reacher is book 9, so it's not a direct sequel.
Okay.
He's written 21 books. Jim Grant is his real name. 18 of them are Jack Reacher novels.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty funny, right?
I mean, our fans have talked about how they really like the books.
Yeah.
I should check them out.
I mean, I tend to find, like, I don't read a lot of books these days, but I tend to find that if there's a franchise and it has 18 books in it, like... It's probably a little bit recycled by the time you
see it. Obviously.
It would be hard to reinvent it every time. But, you know, he's won awards, the Anthony Award for best first novel for his first book. And then he became president of the Mystery Writers Association or something, which is, I think that's where the Anthony Award comes from.
Okay.
Or something like that. I don't know so much about it. But Marshall Herskovitz is another one of the guys involved with this. He's another writer on the film. He is the president of the Producers Guild of America. Among his productions are Traffic, The Last Samurai, Blood Diamond, I Am Sam. He's just another guy that has a bunch of movies that are related to Tom Cruise. You heard Last Samurai in there, so...
I just stopped listening. I just heard that. I mean, there was... With the producers of this film, as you know, Tom Cruise, he likes to produce a lot of his own movies. He's got his, you know, Cruise Wagner, but then did they rename it, or is it still?
I think it's still Cruise Wagner, but I don't think she was a producer on this film.
No, she wasn't. Don Wagner, I believe, is
Don
his
Granger.
Name. Don Granger, excuse me, came in. And he did that. He's an interesting guy. He's only produced about 10 things. He got his career started in like the early 90s, and he moved over and became a VP of production at Paramount.
Yep.
And then after that, in 2001, he joined Gary Levinson to work on a production company called the Mutual Film Company. After that is kind of where he started working with Tom Cruise. That's when he joined Paul Wagner and Tom Cruise and theirs. And if you'll see, like, the last six of his credits, six of his credits, over half of them are all Tom Cruise films.
Yeah, as it tends to be. I mean, I think it's, like, one of those things you can get in the inner circle. If you start to be involved with a movie star of that caliber, it's, like, you can pretty much bet that the movies you work on will be hits. So, probably good to stick with him.
Yeah. And then, I think he's over at United Artists now. He's just one of those guys that's, like, he knows the right people, and he doesn't ever do anything too risky, so he doesn't ever lose anyone too much money.
Totally.
Critically, this movie...
Yeah, unfortunately. But not surprisingly. It cost a little bit more money. It cost $60
million. Yeah, so it cost $60 million. It opened this last weekend. It grossed $22 million, $23 million domestic, and $31 worldwide for a total of $54-ish million. Got beat out by good old Madea.
Yeah.
Boo a Madea Halloween.
Yeah, solid.
I didn't know they were still making Madea films.
Oh, they will never stop.
They'll never stop, right?
Tom Cruise will probably, like, knowing him, he'll probably be in one at some point. Like, he probably has a close friendship to Tyler Perry. Like, it just strikes me as, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, I can totally see them hanging
super,
out.
Super, like, talented, smart,
incredibly wealthy, successful.
Yeah, they probably, like, know each other.
Like,
they have,
nice,
like, a
guys.
Squash game weekly or something like that.
Yeah, backgammon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Madea opened at $28.5 million.
Cruise is going to be in the next Madea Halloween, but he's going to play Madea. It's going to be...
Oh, that's just dangerous.
Yeah.
Downey Jr. could pull it off.
Yeah.
So critically, this is where this is the massive gap. When I went and I was looking at stuff, and it was IMDb gave it a 6.5.
You're like, okay, it's about right.
I was like, okay. Yeah, and then you go to Rotten Tomatoes, 39, 35, and 52, respectively.
Even audience only gave it a 52.
I don't know why.
I mean, honest to God, that's about what I would have given it.
Like, a 52.
Probably a little closer to 60. Like, it has tons of things that I enjoy, right. But it's not... Like, I would only give the first Jack Reacher movie, like, a high 60, maybe a low 70. Like, I think that this franchise is, like, thoroughly entertaining, but, like, compare it to, like, a really good Tom Cruise movie, compare it to, like, Rogue Nation or Edge of Tomorrow, and it's, like, we're really talking, like, a different, you know, caliber of conversation.
All right, we cover so many franchises on this show, so many movies that are talked about to make a sequel or a trilogy or da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. We got to come up with, I don't know what to call it right now, but it just popped in my head. It, like an AMA segment of do we kill it or do we keep going?
Oh, sure.
And so what do we do, man?
Because we did that with Bourne, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was the conversation. It was Bourne, Bond, or Mission Impossible, right? Which is the one that we think should end.
Right. And yeah. We ended up agreeing that it was...
Bourne, maybe?
Bourne.
Well, we chose two different ones. I can't remember which ones we chose, but...
Yeah, we did that on our Jason Bourne episode because we were so pumped. Yeah. And actually watching Jason Bourne was a huge letdown.
Yeah, that was a big one.
One of the bigger letdowns, I think, ever for an action movie for me.
Yeah, I was so hyped. It looked so sweet.
So what do you think, man?
Jack Reacher?
With Jack Reacher. Do you kill it or keep going?
I would kill it.
Yeah?
I don't need to see a Jack Reacher 3. The thing is, the Mission Impossible movies get to keep being made because they're fucking awesome.
They're really awesome.
And they're just like, they just embody so many things that make Cruise great. Like, it's his brand, but it's just so, like... They reinvented the franchise from the beginning. It's a different franchise than it was when it started. 3, 4, and 5.
It's very different.
Are totally different movies. 4 and 5 especially are different movies. And that works. That's really good. Like, it's a great thing for him. This is... Like, the character of Jack Reacher is fun, but Tom Cruise is too famous to keep making Jack Reacher movies.
Yeah, and, like, Jack Reacher is just, like... He's a drifter around the United States and stuff. One of the coolest things about the Furious franchise and the Mission Impossible franchise is it's become like going on a ride to the coolest place in the world and then putting an action movie there.
Yeah, totally.
You know, whereas this was just like the same old, you know, alleyways, dark, shitty warehouses. I think I agree, man. I think you kill it. I think even though there's 18 more books to pull from or whatever, like... And I actually like this one more than the first one. Yeah. I don't want to see a third either.
Yeah, I mean, we pulled the numbers on the first Jack Reacher, 218 worldwide, and I will be very curious to know what happens with the income on this film. Obviously, it costing 60 and having so far grossed 54 million is fine. That's pretty good, but I wonder if the replay value worldwide is going to be good enough to make them want to make another movie.
Yeah, I mean, if you go from getting a 400% return on a $50 million to a 100% return on a $60 million movie, then that ends up not being a whole lot there. But it is Tom Cruise, and it is his production company, so he can just keep doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, but Cruise also, it makes so few movies, mm-hmm. and the whole releasing a movie a year thing.
This is like using your one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not worth
it. That's the thing I find so surprising about him making the movie, is that it's like, there's a certain amount of, you know, he, for instance, like, he goes on Jimmy Kimmel and he goes on James Corden and he mm-hmm. does the thing that I talked about, and he told a great story on Jimmy Kimmel about that he was like, I've never told, you know, Jerry this about Top Gun. He's like, but I was going to do the movie anyway, but before I agreed to do it, I demanded that he let me fly in the jet 4 times. and he's like, I'm sorry, Jerry, I never told you the story. And then he tells the story about flying in the jet. But, like, you know, those are great appearances and they're fun, but the trick with stuff like that is you have to be sparing with how often you do it. You can't,
right.
You can't go on and talk all the time, tell all your stories. So, like, Tom Cruise on a late night talk show, as a Cruise fan, I'm, like, so pumped.
Yeah.
You know, I watch those clips, I'm like, I'm so in on this. But he's only going to do it once a year. So it's like, you have to choose. What are you promoting with it?
Right. Is what I want to do for the next 2 years, 3 years of my career is promote Jack Reacher movies.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, why, even in the middle of the run they do, you know, he like does the scene from Jack Reacher 1, and James Corden, this is similar to another movie. He's like, yeah, we have a sequel coming out, and he does the plug for it. And I was just kind of like, I was a fan of Tom Cruise, and I was watching the show, and I didn't know Jack Reacher 2 was coming out because I didn't see Jack Reacher 1. I would kind of be like, what did I miss?
Right.
Was Jack Reacher 1 really good or something? Like, why are they making another one? Whereas it's like, oh, you're promoting Mission Impossible 5? Well, of course I'm going to see Mission Impossible 5.
Everyone's going to go see that.
Yeah. I've seen all the movies. They're fucking sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... Yeah, I think he needs to cut Jack Reacher out of the equation, and he really is the only person where two studios would just be like, yep, here's a franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, I know you're Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
But you're Jack Reacher for us.
Yeah. Like, you're also Jack Reacher.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that is my opinion, is that I don't think we need to make another one. In fact, I think this cues up a segment we're going to do, which is top five least necessary sequels of all time.
Oh, okay. So on a previous episode, we'd done the top five worst sequels.
Yes. And so this is movies that we feel there was no need for a sequel. Like, seeing the sequel come out was like, really?
Right.
Huh.
It doesn't mean that the second movie was bad. It means it was unnecessary.
Yes.
Okay, I can hop on board with this for sure.
I'm going to start with this movie, because I do think this is one of the five least necessary. Not because it's bad. That's the thing. That's the thing that I really want to make clear here. I enjoyed this movie, and that's not even like I'm saying like I enjoyed it, so it's like I'm not harping on it. What I'm saying is that the point is it was an unnecessary sequel to make in the first place. It's about, did we need to see the sequel or not? Not if the sequel was good. If the sequel was good, so be it. That's lucky. Right. In fact, enjoy almost all of the things I wrote down.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I think with my first one, I'm going to go Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, but which one?
The second one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though I like the second one.
Okay.
That's the point, though, for me, is that... I mean, I guess if I'm like thinking from a business standpoint, I'd have to say the third one, because it's like, you have to make the second one. The first one made so much money, and everyone wanted to see it, and everyone wanted another one. But once you start down that path of that this isn't a standalone movie, you can just go forever. Mm-hmm. So I think that the most unnecessary sequel is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, because that stemmed the other two, because they're making another one now, too.
Fifth one.
Three, excuse me. And they've been so bad. Whereas the original Pirates of the Caribbean is one of the best action-adventure movies ever made.
Yeah, the first one's super sweet. I'm trying to remember the titles of all of them, because I think the only one I've ever watched all the way through is the first one. I've seen bits and pieces. I watched, I think, the fourth one on an airplane once.
So there's Black Pearl, Dead Man's Chest, At World's End.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one.
Which is called, like, the Something of Life or something?
Yeah. Who's our engineer
Fountain
up in the
of
booth?
Youth or
Do
something?
You know what it is, the fourth one, Marissa?
I'm looking it up. I have seen it, because the fourth one has Penelope Cruz.
That's right. That's the one.
And the fifth one's not going to have Jit Depp, right?
No, I think he... Is it not?
I think Johnny Depp's not in this one.
For some reason, I thought he had been convinced to come back. If he's not, then that's the worst thing that's ever happened.
Or maybe he's in it and they just didn't put him in the trailer. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, maybe.
But, all right, so...
On Stranger Tides.
That's right.
Stranger Tides. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, those things.
They're currently making the fifth ones.
Right. So I will go with Transformers 4.
I'm gonna go with Transformers 2.
Oh, you're going to second one?
Yeah, it's actually on my list as well.
Because the second one to me was like, okay, you have to make the second one, because like the cartoon had so many legs. There's been comics forever. There's so many stories to draw from. Like, this was really good. People love the first movie. I love the first Transformers.
But that's the one with... Yeah, the first Transformers is amazing. Yeah. But the second Transformers, isn't that one with the racist robots?
Yeah.
And just like...
Yep.
Because the third one actually isn't that bad. The fourth one is terrible.
That's the
second
one I'm
saying. Is pretty damn bad.
Well, because the fourth one is the one where you're like... So you're changing lead stars.
Yeah.
You're going to give me Mark Wahlberg now. And there's a fifth one coming out.
Yeah, and it's like you're going to have Tyrannosaurus Rex Transformers, which I get it.
They were called the Dinobots, for the record.
Right.
Grimlock is the name of the Tyrannosaurus Rex one.
Like, you hear that, and you're just like, oh, fuck yeah, I want dinosaur robots.
Yeah, he's like, and I wonder if in the cartoon he was like, Grimlock smash. That's like how he talked. I wonder if he'll do that in the movie.
I wouldn't throw it past him. Okay, so we got Pirates, Transformers. Is it my turn? No,
yeah, it's your turn.
I guess it's technically your turn, since I stole Transformers as well.
I'm going to go Evan Almighty.
I love that choice.
Do you remember that?
I love Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, Bruce Almighty is great.
I actually really like that
movie. And then they gave Steve Carell his own sequel.
Yeah.
So weird.
So weird.
Bruce Almighty was like very entertaining, and like they were like...
Whoa. And Evan was the bad guy.
Yeah. It was one of those weird things where like they were just like, all right, well, people liked this movie enough, and Steve Carell's up and coming, we can make this movie.
Reaching for straws.
Yeah.
Evan Backstabber. You know what? On that note, I'm going to do another Jim Carrey one then. What about Dumb and Dumber 2?
Oh, yeah. 20 years later.
Yeah, not Dumb and Dumberer, where it was with two different
people. The prequel, When Harry Met Lloyd.
Right.
That was the full title.
I know. That's brilliant. Which actually wasn't... I remember watching that with my buddy when it came out, and we laughed.
Wasn't as bad as you thought?
Yeah.
What? I heard it's one of the most unwatchable movies ever made.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
But I think it's because I was so young, and I was so excited that another Dumb and Dumber was out. Dumb and Dumber 2, however, is just... That sucks that happened.
I didn't watch it.
I still, and the fact that you and I, as much as we love Dumb and Dumber and Jim Carrey,
it's quoted, the movie is quoted daily pretty much.
Yeah, and we just didn't want to see it. That's why it's unnecessary.
I'll jump in next with a recent one, one that I also didn't see, which is probably unfair, but Now You See Me Too.
Which is funny because Marissa heard us talking before the show, and she's like, oh, I like Now You See Me Too. And it's not that it's not a good movie.
No, well, I also didn't see Now You See Me. The point was that Now You See Me, the trailers were like, wow, it's a star-studded cast. Like, this is a pretty big thing, and it's going to be a heist movie. This will be cool. Yeah. And then it came out. It came and went. I heard nothing. I didn't hear a word. Nobody talked about it. I was like, wow, that's just one of those movies where they got a lot of big names and no one cared. I wonder if it made any money.
You and I were recently on a movie trivia show.
Yeah.
And the clue for this movie was Mark Ruffalo and Woody Harrelson in a live-action sequel that came out this year.
Yeah.
And you, after a couple seconds, you get the nod and you leaned over and you're like, it's Now You See Me Too.
Yeah.
And I was like, how the fuck did you know that?
Yeah.
You know, I did, even the guy that we ended up actually losing by half a point, that's I will take the blame for that. But the guy that beat us, who was actually he was pretty good. His partner was, I can't even believe they won. I love these guys. They're very nice guys. But Kyle, he was up there in his final round. He's like, this equation doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
These people in the year, it was beyond him.
Yeah.
And that's, so I completely agree. When they said they were making a Now You See Me Too, I laughed out loud.
Yeah, totally. it came out, I was like, this is so, and then I feel like the second one came and went just as fast as the first one did.
And it could be good.
The whole franchise might be good.
Real weird. I'm going to go 28 weeks later.
Yeah, I agree with you, because it was one of those things where the first movie's so good on its own. It doesn't need a sequel.
You don't need to do it. It's so good. 28 Days Later is by far one of my top 20 movies. And they just don't.
Yeah, 28 Days Later, man. That was, and 28 Weeks Later is fine.
It's fine, but now it's just a conversation. It was like, oh my God, 28 Days Later is so good.
Did they make a third one?
I think they were talking about it.
I thought they made a third one. That was
something like that.
I thought there was a third one. I can't remember what it was. My last one is U.S. Marshals, the 1998 sequel to The Fugitive.
I love U.S. Marshals.
I also love U.S. Marshals. It's got Robert Downey Jr. in it. It's got the whole gang came back. When I saw U.S. Marshals as a kid, I didn't know that it was a sequel to The Fugitive, because I've never seen The Fugitive.
Oh, really?
I've told the story a lot of times on here about those VHS tapes that I had that
I got all the copies
at the yard sale, and there was three or four recorded HBO movies on each side, and there was seven of them or something like that. So it was 30 or 35 movies I'd never seen before, all from the last few years in the 90s, and U.S. Marshals was on there.
I love that you watch U.S. Marshals and you're just like, well, wow, what was that?
Yeah.
And then you watch Fugitive, you're like, well, this is a good movie.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
what it's actually good.
So I'm torn on my last one. It's either the second Mask of Zorro.
Legend of Zorro.
Because the first one was one of my favorite movies growing up.
Yeah.
But I think it's Star Wars Episodes 1 through 3.
Oh, see, I'll give you Zorro, because that to me is Zorro, it's I get why you guys could or couldn't make a sequel, but it's not the first Zorro was such a fan favorite that years later there should have been a need to do that.
Right.
It was
Zorro was a huge fan favorite. Not the movie, but the character.
Yeah. And people love that movie, the Antonio Banderas one. That's a popular movie. But it wasn't of course there's going to be a sequel. This movie made in the top 10 this year, right? It wasn't it just was one of those, you could take it or leave it.
Yeah. I understand the Star Wars argument, which is why I had to have another one.
Yeah, the Star Wars argument, in retrospect, obviously those movies are horrible, and it's a total shame that that happened.
But what if there was only 3 Star Wars movies ever, and not 9, and not 12 in 20 years, and not 15 in 30 years? What if there was just the original 3?
Well, I remember in the 90s, before it came out, I mean, I'm growing up, I loved Star Wars.
Right, but were you always just like, give me more? Or were you like, that's the greatest trilogy ever?
It never struck me that there was going to be more Star Wars movies.
So that's why I say, is it unnecessary?
Well, even when they announced the D. Abrams movies, the new ones, it's such a crazy idea that there's going to be more Star Wars movies when they do that. I remember just being like, my jaw dropped. Just like, wow, they're going to make more Star Wars movies?
Right. And I feel like as a diehard Star Wars fan, you're like so excited and so terrified.
Yeah, totally.
And then the first one hits, you're like, fuck yes, give me more, give me more. Whereas back then, it was the first one hit, you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
This is an abomination.
Yeah, yep, Jar Jar.
Jar Jar.
At least Darth Maul was sweet, though.
Darth Maul was very sweet.
Yeah, in episode one.
You were the chosen one! That was sweet, too.
Yeah.
Shall we get into favorite line?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
What do you got?
My favorite line, I laughed out loud in the theater, and if I was by myself, I would have called you.
Yeah.
And it's when they're in the place picking out clothes for her to go to the woman's church school, yeah. the go-away school or whatever. I can't talk today. And he's like talking to her, and he says something to her. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And she goes, "You're really intense."
Yeah.
You know that? And then just walks away.
Yeah,
I just died laughing because it's like, that's just Tom Cruise is being told that.
Totally.
Not Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
I love it.
I liked when he's got his lawyer in the cell or whatever, and he like knows that he needs to escape, and he like pauses for a second, and he looks at her, and he's like, private or whatever he calls it.
Yeah.
He's like, private... My blood sugar's a little low. Would you mind going and getting me something from the mess hall? Maybe perhaps a sandwich or something?
Sandwich.
She's like, sure, okay. And you're just like, way to go, Cruise. You're like, way to trick her.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My blood sugar's low.
Yeah.
What? I've like, eaten all day.
Yeah, that one's sweet. And I also just like when he's like, I'm going to break your legs.
Yeah.
I'm going to break your arms. I'm going to break your fucking neck. Like,
and then he's like,
yeah.
Oh, I also like he gets the one fuck in the movie.
Yeah. What does he say?
It's just basically when something's about to happen, the girl's being used against him. I think it's at the very, very end. And the bad guy says something, and Cruise is just, oh, it's when he's about to put the gun down.
Yeah.
And he's just like, fuck. And he puts the gun down, because it's the only time he would ever sacrifice.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's his daughter. Were you disappointed in the end that it wasn't? Did you think she should have been?
I don't. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's so weird when she said that he had a daughter. It was like, Tom Cruise doesn't have sex with people.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise doesn't sleep with people.
He has transcended sexuality.
Exactly. And then later on in the film, he even says, he's like, I remember the women I sleep with.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, well, then, you know. So she knows, which I actually kind of like that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But I was let down that she wasn't his daughter, even though I don't think she should have been.
Well, if she was his daughter and they ever decided to make a third one, then she has to be in it, which is like, you have to have the kid storyline become a part of the Reacher, which is like, it's a stretch.
Did you like her?
She was okay.
She was all right.
She was okay. Yeah. I didn't love her. I didn't hate her.
She was never off-putting. She was never like overly endearing.
Yeah. She was a kid. She played, she played a kid well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was good. What else we got today? We're not doing a traditional recast. Still no answer on the rankings.
Yeah.
We're
just counting on you guys at this point. I just don't know what to do,
I
man.
Know.
There's so many.
It just got to that point where we'd be looking up there at a screen with like 80 movies on it or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Reacher would definitely rank at this point.
Character would.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, Reacher would rank.
We should have like a battle royale.
Yeah. Well,
with all the badass dudes.
Yeah.
After at episode 100, we could have every character.
Yeah.
And like figure out the greatest action movie hero.
Episode 100 is going to have to be like a whole week of content like we wanted to do for episode 50 but didn't do.
Right, we just did the Rock stuff over and over.
Yeah, we just did the watch along and the movie.
Yeah,
the Rock's so sweet. God, that movie's good.
Are you
watching Westworld, by the way?
No, people keep telling me about that.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's really good.
Yeah? All right. We'll check it out.
So, I think which of the three action movie categories this fits into, totally ridiculous. Those are movies like Con Air, Face Off. They kind of fall apart. They're totally absurd.
Mm-hmm.
You laugh unintentionally all along. Movies that are totally legitimate, like The Fugitive.
Gladiator.
Yeah, you know, that really hold together exceptionally well and are strong dramatically. And then there's Legitimately Ridiculous, which is... or ridiculously legitimate movies like The Rock or Point Break, Speed,
Predator.
They're like awesome, they're compelling, they're grounded, but you do laugh unintentionally a little bit
every now and then. Yeah, something catches you off guard.
Yeah. I mean I think for me, I think this movie, it's just hard to say. I want to call it,
I know where I put it actually.
Go ahead.
I it's ridiculously legitimate for me.
Okay.
It really is. And I think the reason why is I would find myself kind of surprised that I was tense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would kind of find myself like, I'd be like, oh my god, what's gonna happen next? And I'd be like, wait, why am I doing this? This is a Tom Cruise movie. The girl's gonna be fine. Tom Cruise is gonna win. Nothing's gonna happen to Colby Smulders, and he's gonna win at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And the bad guy's gonna die.
How's he gonna get out of it?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But since it was engaging enough to get me to that point to where I had to like pull myself out of it, be like, dude, no. I had to give it the middle category.
Yeah, I guess I'll agree with you on that one, because I can't legitimately justify this being totally ridiculous, because it's not. I'm not just like falling over laughing the whole time, and it's definitely not totally legitimate.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere in that middle category of ridiculously legitimate is where I would rank it in the end. We have one last segment of show to do, and that's called The Pitch.
Oh. That one got away from me.
It's a bad one, man. Losing your voice.
I drank a lot this weekend.
You're going full Cuba right now.
Cuba.
He like tries to do. He shows up in the James Corden thing for the Show Me the Money.
Oh,
he like
does
walks
he?
On, and he's like trying to do like Show Me the Money, like yelling it. But it's like Show Me. Like, you know, drinking will ruin your voice.
Alex, a good friend of ours, who actually was
he 86
at,
right?
He 86 Cuba from his restaurant because he was a really, really creepy, belligerently drunk dude.
Do you know who he was hitting on?
Yes, it was with Bree, right?
Bree Winkler.
It was Bree Winkler.
The weather girl.
The weather lady.
My favorite.
She is just beautiful and lovely.
I love Bree Winkler.
That's so funny. I actually was just telling that story like 2 days ago, and I couldn't remember the girl.
Yeah.
And the second you said that, I remembered it was Bree Winkler.
Bree Winkler. Big shout out to Bree Winkler.
Yeah, big shout out. That girl really delivers the news.
She's a sweetheart.
She's very sweet.
That is going to do it.
What are we pitching?
We didn't pitch it.
We didn't actually. We just talked about the pitch.
Geez, I
want to go old school, man.
There was the movie Old School.
I want to do old school. I'm here for the gangbang. I want to go old school, like classic 90s, like a True Lies type, you know?
Ooh, okay. Yeah, so guys, we don't have the firepower on us right now to pitch the movie that we want to pitch. So
we don't.
I guess that should leave it in the hands of the viewers. Somebody, that happened recently. Was it Roadhouse that was the case?
That was the one. I mean, you guys have been literally asking us to do Roadhouse for a year. Plus, we did it. Inception was another one people had been begging us to do for so long, and luckily Rachel wanted to do that. So, guys, blow up at AMA Podcast with what movies that you have been pitching forever. We haven't, you know what? No, we can't do Heat because we've got a special thing for Heat.
Yeah, we've got a special thing going on with Heat. Yeah, special guest.
The Pitch.
A special guest.
So let's just have you guys hit us up at AMA Podcast. Let us know what movies you've been waiting for the most, and we will put up either a poll or announcement of what we've chosen.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Marissa, thank you. Steven, thank you. And we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Goodbye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.